Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, a service of Close Up Television and Radio. And we're very excited to welcome a practicing nurse who's been doing it for more than 40 years, who has held nursing and operational roles across multiple specialties, including critical care, emergency services, women and children's services, clinical education, care management, quality and surgical services, and physician practices as well. In addition, she's also held two adjunct professor roles at the undergraduate and graduate levels. She has served in executive leadership positions for the past 20 years for a large healthcare system. And more recently, she was the Vice President of Patient Care Services, Chief Nursing Officer at Mercy Medical Center in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is part of the Trinity Health of New England. And in this role, our special guest was responsible for leading all aspects of nursing administration across the Medical Center, Family Life Center, Behavioral Health Hospital, and the Rehabilitation Hospital as well. And her accomplishments there included the development of two innovation units during the COVID-19 pandemic, which achieved high scores for quality by attaining and sustaining a leapfrog grade A and attained a 3-star CMS rating for quality and patient safety, as well as improved patient experience and employee satisfaction. Also, successful Joint Commission and Rehabilitation Hospital surveys, and also she led the hospital's work to become a certified bariatric center of excellence. She helped them get to that point. Our special guest was also responsible for developing shared governance, clinical ladders for advancement, and affording staff nurses the opportunity to serve on hospital and nursing committees. She says it's an exciting time to be in healthcare, and her goal is to leave an indelible mark not only on the profession, but with every opportunity she has to positively influence others. Darlene is here coming to us live and direct from Bridgewater, Massachusetts, where she says it's just as beautiful there as it is here throughout the rest of the Northeast, and it's been a gorgeous 4th of July holiday weekend. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday weekend, and we welcome you back for more episodes of the award-winning Close Up Radio. Darlene, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here. Look forward to speaking with you today about healthcare and nursing and where we're headed in this new arena with the frenetic pace that we have been placed in, especially with the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. It's been ramped up tenfold, but being on the front lines there, you know, it's beautiful work, and obviously, like you say, it's an exciting time to be in healthcare, Darlene. You know, there's many ways to say your last name. How do you like to say your last name? I always ask the guests.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's pronounced Cuna, just like a can of tuna. It's Cuna. The H is silent.
Yes, Cuna. Perfect. Excellent.
Yes.
Well, Darlene, Cuna is here. And she has so much she wants to share with us. I know you're all excited about this, as am I. I'd love to know and step back a little bit, Darlene, and just find out what inspired you to initially even go into healthcare and go into nursing. Tell us a little bit about your journey and some of the inspirations pointing you in the direction of realizing this isn't just work that you want to do. You were meant to. You have to do this kind of work because you love it so much, caring for others.
Yes. And so, Jim, it's really an interesting story because I almost didn't make it to nursing school. You know, my early childhood years were spent in Dorchester, Massachusetts, and we lived just down the street from St. Gregory's Church. And every Sunday, my family, all 9 of us, there were 6 siblings, myself and my parents, we'd walk to church. And on the way back, we walked by Catherine Laboure School of Nursing. And there was a statue of Sister Caritas, who was a nurse out front with her hands outstretched. And I was inquisitive, and I asked my father about the statue, and he told me stories of the nuns who were nurses and cared for the poor. And he said, her hands were outstretched, honey, because she holds the sick in the palm of her hands. And I never forgot that. Well, fast forward several years later, my father unfortunately took quite ill, and I was barely 12, and he was really left in a vegetative state, which left my mother to care for myself and six siblings, which created extremely tough financial times. Well, I was quite an independent 12-year-old and inquisitive, and I walked down the street to my neighbor's home, and they had owned a nursing home around the corner, and I asked if I could work for them to kind of help out at home. And, of course, I wasn't legally old enough, but he let me do some work in the laundry, and he paid me, and eventually I was old enough to work there and subsequently worked in the kitchen and then eventually as a nursing assistant. Well, I used to spend all kinds of hours talking with the elderly about their lives and legacies, and in turn, they taught me about true compassion and empathy. And what I would eventually see firsthand is how my neighbors were the epitome of compassion and eventually became giants in the healthcare industry. Well, I turned 18. I had applied to and was accepted into several nursing schools, but my mother had no financial means to support this endeavor. Now, remember, back then, there were not many options for financial assistance to help with schooling. Well, my neighbors heard about my dilemma, and if you can believe it, stepped in and co-signed my school loans. That one single act of kindness changed the trajectory of my life, and I have lived my whole life and career ever since paying it forward. I help coach every person I work with, regardless of status, to be really their true authentic self and to find their voice and then help them achieve their goals. Jim, women, you know, we have had an inextricable impact on the modern healthcare profession for as long as it has existed, stretching all the way back to Florence Nightingale and the foundation of nursing itself. And that impact is still felt today. Now, more than ever, women are leading health teams and influencing care all over the world. But there's still much progress to be made.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Beautifully said. What a wonderful reason to have gone into healthcare and to nursing. You know, the work that you're doing really is extraordinary, and this is really an opportunity for people to really understand the effectiveness of the work that's being done, and even something like the creation of an innovation unit. Tell us about that. That sounds really fascinating. What is an innovation unit, Darlene?
Oh, innovation units are the coolest thing to happen in healthcare. And I'm always dumbfounded when I read about people who can see what no one else sees. They really create what isn't yet there in their mind, but feel it in their hearts and then go boldly after it until their vision really comes to fruition. You know, if you think about the late, great Dr. Miles Monroe, he said the greatest gift God ever gave us is not the gift of sight, but really the gift of vision. Sight is the function of your eyes, but vision, well, that's really the function of your heart. And nursing is both. We've had so many trailblazers who continue to innovate and inspire, leading us to new advances such as innovation patient care units. These are units where care is really redesigned to ensure patients receive coordinated, safe, high-quality care and treatment while they're in the hospital. And it can be a creative approach, or it can be through the use of technology that's been designed and integrated to improve the patient experience and, of course, clinical outcomes. Now, I'll give you an example. When I worked in a trauma ICU back in the 80s, you might say we created an innovation unit even back then. We were anxious to explore the best ways to keep patients who were on ventilators mobile to maintain their strength and function. You used to see patients that were bedridden on ventilators. Now they sit up and they walk with portable ventilators. Well, we did something back then that would be exalted today. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. We had a young man who was in a car accident, and he unfortunately was on a ventilator. But he loved music, and he was in a band. And his mom would bring in his tapes of his music, and we would play them. And we started to see changes. His heart rate would go up. He'd start tapping his fingers. We knew we needed to prevent further debilitation. He wasn't weaning as quickly off the ventilator as we had hoped. So we created a mobile cart of instruments with a drum kit, a tambourine, and a keyboard. And once he was up in the chair, we brought the cart to him so he could choose an instrument to play. It not only strengthened his muscles through movement, but, you know, he healed faster and weaned off the vent in a matter of days, because we know music is healing for the mind, body, and soul, which it's an unbeatable combination when you're trying to recover from an illness. And so innovation units use that kind of creativity. We look for ways to innovate, integrate technology, and then really improve the patient's ability to participate in their care, their patient experience, and eventually their clinical outcome.
Mm, which is the bottom line. You know, obviously that's something that everybody wants to have happen, and it's the goal, and that's really fantastic. This CMS star rating is very important to an organization. Tell us a little bit more about it all.
Yeah, so, you know, as a chief nursing officer, it is vital to always remember that goals are never achieved in a vacuum, right? You have to have the ability to inspire and, above all, maintain a sense of humor. And moving the dial is hard work. It takes a village. And it's my job to ensure I find the gem in each and every team member and help them see how they contribute. When people are inspired to do more, they achieve more. And when you feel good about your work, you seek out ways to grow. And that is vitally important today, especially with the frenetic pace in healthcare. So maintaining quality and superior patient outcomes is the goal of every provider and healthcare organization. And Medicare offers a star rating system. The star rating system assigns a healthcare provider or facility a level of quality that uses one star to represent the lowest level of quality and five stars to represent the highest level of quality. The criteria used to measure the quality includes things like patient experience, but the ratings are also based on overall performance with several quality metrics. These additional ratings and the criteria help to shape the overall picture of quality and give peace of mind to patients who seek the best quality of care for their needs. Achieving high stars cannot be done alone. It requires the efforts of every team member. And as a nurse leader, it's my job to get the staff on board with the goals and ensure they feel empowered to make a difference. Transforming an organization, as I said, is hard work and really requires innovative approaches to reach those goals, those quality metrics, and, of course, those superior clinical outcomes. Having a passion for eliminating preventable harm and creating that healthy work environment for the team will get you there. And that's exactly what the CMS star rating is about. It's looking at those quality metrics and making certain that you attain the best patient outcomes as you move forward.
That's fantastic. That's exactly what you want. And, you know, there's always this topic about compassion and compassion being critical to healthcare. To me, compassion is critical, I think, to all aspects of life as well, empathy and kindness. But compassion in healthcare is critical, isn't it? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so very simply, compassion heals. You know, there's a brilliant book that was written called Compassionomics by Drs. Stephen Tresiak and Anthony Mazzarelli. I really believe that every healthcare professional should read this book. It describes the healing power of compassion with stories and summaries of decades of scientific research that really proves compassion is vital to our collective health and well-being. You know, caring does make a difference. The human connection in healthcare really matters. And we now know that missed opportunities for compassion can have devastating health effects. You know, Jim, we've lost the art of conversation with each other and our patients. We talk at them, not with them. Healthcare has become so task-driven, and in doing so, the true art of human caring has been pushed aside. So let me share a personal story with you that I think really speaks to compassion. My mother was born premature and placed in an incubator back then with 100% oxygen for a prolonged period of time, and it caused permanent lung damage. She suffered from lung disease her whole life, not to mention she smoked, as was typical in her generation. Her pulmonologist was a very cantankerous gentleman who had zero bedside manner, no compassion. My mother was in and out of the hospital for years with exacerbations of her disease. One day I visited her, and I happened to be in nursing school, and I witnessed an interaction between the two of them. He was talking harshly to her. He shamed her for not following his orders and for not quitting smoking, and abruptly left the room. When I asked her why she tolerated a lack of concern and compassion, she said, "Well, he's the best." And I said, "Guess what? You can have both." By the way, I convinced her to change her physician. She quit smoking, became fully invested in her care, and reduced her exacerbations and subsequent hospitalizations considerably. Had he had just taken the time to listen to her, he would have learned she could not afford the medications he had prescribed, which is why she did not follow his orders. We must remember that every encounter is an opportunity to impart, even if brief, hope and compassion. We must create moments that matter and awaken our hearts to what matters most. Compassion saves lives. It can help reverse the cost of the crisis in healthcare through unnecessary readmissions, and it's an antidote for burnout amongst our healthcare providers. After seeing all the evidence, the answer is crystal clear. Compassion matters. It not only matters in meaningful but measurable ways.
It's so true. Yeah, it really, really, it's a key ingredient to it all. For you, how do you, because everybody has their own ways of doing things and their own strategy, methodology, their own personal approach. How do you make every encounter with your staff or patients really count? How do you make it meaningful versus the transactional way that a lot of things happen? It's just a transactional moment, a transactional experience, transactional conversation. How do you, in your unique way, Darlene, where it's meaningful for both the staff and the patients and for you?
So I've sort of adopted and always followed what I call the three C's. So the first C is communication. Be an active listener. People want to feel heard. Pay attention. Showing that you're listening and providing feedback, deferring judgment, and responding appropriately. I have a mantra that I've always practiced for years. It's called commit to sit. Nothing conveys more how important that person or patient is than when you sit at eye level. That simple gesture conveys that you have the time. The second, compassion. Provide emotional support. In healthcare, we have a desire to fix a patient's problem because it comes naturally to us. And while it's important, fixing it isn't always the right answer, which takes you back to number one, being a good listener. Think about times when you were struggling yourself with a personal dilemma. Did you always want a solution, or rather just support in how that problem was making you feel? Be there for a patient or an employee emotionally. Show your compassion. Foster positive relationships and experiences. I practice compassion daily and use it to guide my life and my work. And then the third competency, answer patient questions or guide the practice of employees. Both are crucial. Those three C's, communication, compassion, and competency, are what I really believe you need to practice with every patient encounter and employee. My passion and the compassion for my work has truly sustained me in this very competitive healthcare arena today. I've been incredibly blessed to work with incredible leaders and mentors throughout my career, most recently with one of them at Trinity Health of New England, Lisa Zapatka. She's our regional chief nurse exec, and she embraces everything we just talked about, and it's leaders like her who will continue to propel this profession. For myself, being a creative storyteller and people-first leader has always allowed me to see beautiful possibilities in everything and everyone. You know, women have had an inextricable impact on the modern healthcare profession for as long as it's existed, stretching really all the way back to Florence Nightingale and the foundation of nursing itself. And that impact is still felt today. Now, more than ever, women are leading health teams and influencing care all over the world. But as I said earlier, there's still much progress to be made. I'm grateful and blessed to be part of this wonderful profession. And as long as we make every encounter count, we will continue to move compassion through healthcare.
Do you have a success story you might be able to share with us that comes to mind? You don't have to mention a name at all, but maybe an example of some of the work?
Sure. Let me give you an example recently where, you know, we had the pandemic and there was no visitation for families because of the heightened concern with transmission of the disease, of the virus. But there's always exceptions, right? We always have to have exceptions. And we had this patient whose life had been dedicated to the art of nursing. And she now was on the other side. And here she was in a room by herself, doors closed, with no family at her bedside. Now, nurses, of course, provided that empathetic, compassionate care. But we know when you have the love of family, how important that is. And we had her daughter, who she had been living with for the last 10 years of her life, come in to sit with her during those final moments. You could literally see her heart rate come down, the anxiety on her face, the relaxation of her facial muscles, the love that was shared between the nurse, the daughter, and the patient was just transformational. Those are moments that you never forget, and we must never forget. There are so many stories that we can share, not only as a community of healthcare providers, but as individuals. We bring our personal experiences as well. Most recently, my husband was given a diagnosis of cancer, and it was pretty devastating. And I found myself on the other side of the spectrum, actually sitting at the bedside, watching the care being delivered, the love and tenderness being shown, but not only to my husband, but to me. Remember, families are an extension of the patient, and we must never forget to include them in that journey, because together that makes a healing environment. And for me, it just reaffirmed all the great work that nurses and healthcare providers do each and every day despite challenges. It's important to bring those experiences back into your work and share them so that others too can learn and grow and continue to foster that kind of development in one another. So those are two stories that come to mind pretty quickly for me, Jim. I hope that they share a little bit of insight into the work that we do.
Why do you love this work so much? It's so obvious that this speaks to your heart and soul in such a deep way, Darlene.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've never considered this to be work. I've always considered it to be a calling for me. You know, from the time that I saw that statue, and it's ironic that that statue was Sister Caritas. Now, fast forward, one of our former presidents at Mercy Medical Center was Sister Mary Caritas. And it goes back to the founding principles of caring for the poor. And having been financially strapped as a young child and learning to live within that paradigm, but finding solace in that nursing home, being able to touch the lives of those patients that shared their legacies, their stories of their lives, that enriched my work. I love what I do because it's not work. And we hear that all the time, right? When you love what you do, when you get up every day, it's not work. It's your passion. You bring that love to the bedside. You bring that love to every meeting. You bring that love to every encounter. That's what it means to me. And that's why it's so important that this platform that you have here with Close Up Radio allows that message to get out. You know, women leaders today, we need to continue to share our voice. We need to continue to empower one another. You know, there's a saying, great leaders will straighten the crown of one of their colleagues or friends, but never tell anybody else that they did it. That's the true inspiration of a leader. Leaders teach others to lead themselves.
That's exactly right. What would you say to somebody that's considering entering this field right now? It has
changed
dramatically.
What a great time. What a great time to be in healthcare, to be in nursing. It's so creative, innovative. You have opportunities in many dimensions. As you mentioned earlier, all the different areas of expertise that I've been blessed to be part of, there isn't just one area in nursing. There are several domains that you can choose to really bring out the gem in you, what brings you joy, what gives you passion. But healthcare today, we need leaders, we need nurses, we need people who love the work of caring for others. This is a great time to jump in and be part of this wonderful profession. There's so much going on. You know, the pandemic didn't really expose anything we didn't already know, but boy, did it light a fire under creative, innovative ways that we had been talking about in delivering healthcare. Look at telemedicine. It literally blew up with the pandemic. And we now know that having an opportunity to speak to a provider when you don't need to go to an emergency room will reduce the crisis of overcrowding in the emergency room and provide care timely and effectively to those who need it. This is a wonderful time to be in healthcare.
You absolutely love it. You can tell it's something that, again, speaks to your heart and soul. This has been a wonderful conversation, and congratulations on all the successes and this illustrious career as well. And I know it inspires others along the way, and it's really beautiful work you're doing. Darlene, thanks so much for joining us here on the program. Thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and hope we get a chance to hear some more and expand some more down the line as well. That would be a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure speaking with you as well, and wishing you all the best at Close Up Radio and television, and look forward to future conversations.
As do we, Darlene. Truly, truly a pleasure. Darlene Cunha is here, and we really appreciate her joining us, and we appreciate you being here as well, everybody. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time, until next time, and inviting you to stay right there. More great episodes of our series, Close Up Radio, coming up in just a moment. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.